I'm here this morning. Saturday morning, we're out at church because we want to learn from your word, the Lord's word, right? And what a wonderful introduction we've already had. Such worshipful music, such good conversation. I can see you all interacting with each other. And we are now looking forward to learning about how to serve one another, the call to speak to one another in love. This is the basis of the book that I wrote with Cheryl Marshall. Cheryl Marshall is a friend. She grew up at Grace Community Church in, what town is that in? L.A. proper, yeah. So, actually, Cheryl heard this talk and said, Caroline, we need to write a book. And the reason is because we know there's such a need in our churches. So I want to call our attention to the need, maybe in your church, but in the church community at large, for women to come alongside one another in deep relationships, right? So we can have plenty of friends, many friends here, right, that you know one another, you know a little bit about each other, but we're going to talk this morning about getting into deeper relationships. So let's ask the Lord to help us. And Father, we do come before you and ask for attentiveness. We ask for clarity in your scripture to see that this is a calling we have, and it's a beautiful picture of what the church is meant to be. And what we are meant to be as sisters in Christ. So help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I am kind of a shy, quiet person. You wouldn't know it, maybe, that I'm out in public speaking. But I homeschooled my kids for decades. I ended up pastor's wife, watching Jim do a lot of counseling because my husband, Jim Neuheiser, is on the board of ACBC, if you know that counseling organization. So he's had a big part to play in the counseling community, and I was the quiet one who watched. And learned a lot, right? Go to conferences, hear speakers talk about counseling. But it wasn't until I ended up with finishing homeschooling that I realized I needed to play a bigger role. I was a pastor's wife as well. But one of the ones behind the scenes, right? Then I thought, okay, I've got women in my church I need to get to know better. And during my season of taking care of my kids, I wasn't involved as much in church with the intimate fellowship we have during the ladies' Bible study, right? Or community Bible study, or whatever group you're in, where we share prayer requests and all. That's how we grow deeper, right? So I want us to think about that. The fact that God has called us to serve others in this way. And I'm going to use a term you're familiar with. I'm going to use the term mentoring, which that happens in the business world, right? It should happen in church, too. It should be older women coming alongside younger women. Is that scriptural? Yes. So we know that in Titus 2, and I'm going to start there. Because I want us to think, what does God want us to do? We could easily get into our own little worlds and be super happy there, and especially those of us who are quiet and shy, but we're called to reach other women. And I think, in my experience, I will tell you that I've seen growth in the women in my church by seeing these mentoring relationships develop. And frankly, that's what counseling is. And I counsel women all over the United States because I end up with specializing in counseling pastors' wives and missionary wives, plus women in my own small community at where I live in Charlotte, plus women in my church. So spread out a lot. But what I'm trying to do is the Titus 2:3, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. so that, and here's what we are to do, they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands. And how important is it so that the word of God will not be dishonored? The relationship is so intense, it can become intense. Do you see how all these categories are what we need in our spiritual growth? Sanctification? Yeah. And I'm using that word. I'm sure this is an educated group. Y'all know what sanctification is, right? Growing in Christ-likeness. So we're looking at this, and William Hendrickson says, one understands immediately that no one, not even Titus, is better able to train a young woman than an experienced older woman. How's that? You can tell the pastor, this is part of your role, but don't you think women should be doing this because we know one another? We understand. We've been there. A lot of us are the older women because we have already raised our children. We've already gone through a lot of this, these trials that we want to help others with. And we're thinking about spiritual mothering. That's another term. And I like that. If you know that book by Susan Hunt, came out long ago, but it talks about that type of relationship and how many of us don't even have the spiritual mother, biological mother, right? We might not have a Christian mom. We might need somebody to come and tell us how to be a wife, how to be a mom. We haven't had that experience, or maybe some of you can draw upon your grandmothers who are faithful servants of God. But a lot of us, I'm telling you, I don't know what it's like in Kansas, but we're in a transient situation, moving away from mom, perhaps. Things come up, or, you know, frankly, there'll be things you don't want to talk to mom about. Anyway, right? I need an older, wiser woman to give me counsel, to help me sort out how can I serve God in these situations. So we're told to not forsake our mother's teaching. And if you haven't had a Christian mother, then think about a woman in your church who might be that example to you. I know you have good examples around you. You don't always have to have white hair either. Right? You can be older and along the road a little bit further to be able to give advice. Do you see that? I don't want us all to make an exception if I can't do this because I haven't been a Christian for that long or I haven't had that many experiences. And I think Amy gave us a perfect intro. I haven't had all this maybe life experience that I have to exactly understand all the trauma and all the characteristics of each person's hurt, but I do have the Word. And so that's what our second talk is going to be about, the Word. But I will say, you know what? The women in this church will be way more accessible than any person in a counseling office. Do you see that? If you think, I need help, I need to make an appointment with a counselor, and if you want to make an appointment with me, okay, might be, I'll meet you in a couple weeks, and we'll only talk for an hour. You see? But women in this body, you're running into each other at the store. You are neighbors, perhaps. You are working together in teaching Sunday school, and you're interacting with each other. You're way more accessible than any person who has office hours. I think that's the way the body's intended to work, right? We're members one of another. So think about that role you might have. I had a friend who went to Costco, and she goes, a lady came up to me, and she was crying. And my friend goes, what do I do? What do I say to her? She's crying. Well, you don't say to her, why don't you go make an appointment with Caroline, and she'll talk to you. When you are the one she approached, do you see? You're the one she opened herself up to and unburdened herself to. So I want us to be equipped, but we're going to start out by the knowledge I want to know God desires that for me. God desires me to be open-handed and loving to my fellow sisters. We are, in Galatians 6, 1 through 3, told to carry one another's burdens. That verse, Galatians 6, 1, starts out with brethren. And when you read that in the Bible, you might already know some verses translated brothers and sisters doesn't mean just males. You get it? Brethren, like all y'all. You all should be bearing one another's burdens, carrying burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And what are you doing with that knowledge? As you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. So we're not just taking in good teaching. I know you have good teaching here on Sunday mornings. You're just taking it in. Now you're using it to serve your sisters. You're taking that thought you realized it the sermon and say, oh, I can share that with my friend because it means a lot to me. I want you to know it too. So one of my favorite verses from Proverbs 31 is that she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. But we want to be those ladies, right? We want to be the one that, if I call her, she's not only going to pray with me, but she will give me the scripture. She will help me, point me to the word. Just like we've had all this beautiful music pointing us to the word, I want a friend like that, don't you? Yes. So let's think about the reasons why women should be counseling one another or working with each other. And I've already given you one, that we understand one another, right? That's very important. And you also want to think, some women will have an issue that they do not want to talk to their pastor about. Okay? Like personal, very private things. And wouldn't you love to have a big sister or a dear friend that you can say, now this has come up, I don't know how to handle it, help me. And women should be doing that with each other. And actually, Carol Cornish says, and this is my experience also, 60 to 80% of counselees are women. Why do we need to train more women to learn how to work with one another? Because we're the ones who come in and admit we have a problem, right? And plus, we're very relational, and we care a lot about how we interact with other people, and a lot of counseling involves that too. So we think, all right, I need to be ready. I need to be available because there's such a need. And then some of you might be thinking, well, that's very good for somebody else. I just will be so glad if somebody else gets trained up. I wish that she would go to the counseling conference. I wish that she would really study these books that are out there because she needs to take care of it, and I'm no good. I can't do it. So I'm going to address this problem we might have of a lack of self-confidence. Okay, now the way I said that, you know what I'm heading for, aren't you? So, you have to think. First of all, God has called you into a ministry of reaching other women. But it's not based on your amazing self. Okay? Tim Keller says, self-forgetfulness gives freedom. If you just forget about yourself and think, oh, I don't have to be all that. I just need to share what I know. Share my love for somebody, that will bring you the freedom to go ahead and reach out instead of staying at home and saying, I can't do it. And the only reason we can do it and serve one another is because the Holy Spirit is in us. Holy Spirit is working, right? And if it was up to you, yeah, you would probably not do a great job. You would not target the needs. You would not be aware of the scriptures that are the best ones to apply, but we're relying on the Spirit. So I want to deal with that right now, thinking about the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, by that I mean the Holy Spirit has been sent to enable the church to grow and to glorify Christ, right? His purpose is to project Christ to us. He has given us His divine power, and let's see that in 2 Peter 1:3. And again, we're hanging on to some of these amazing verses because when we lose confidence, we need it. 2 Peter 1:3 says, well, 2, I'll start with 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you, ladies at Grace Bible Church, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And how do we get that? It says, through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. You see, a couple times we're seeing the key is knowledge of God in verse 2, knowledge of Him who called us in verse 3. That's what it takes. That's your prerequisite. And any believer is growing in knowledge, right? We're growing in understanding who God is, what He does in our lives. And besides that, you know you're not supposed to lean on your own understanding. Okay? And all you do is acknowledge Him. And He will make your paths straight. So I'm good. I'm just going to leave you with a pep talk. And I like Amy's exhortation to go out of here thinking, what can I change? And one thing I might want to change is my understanding of my own role in this body or as a fellow Christian. Because I know you women are not only touching these ladies in this church, you are touching your neighbors, you're touching your sister-in-law, this extended group of people you're interacting with. All of you are interacting with a large number of people. And you know what? You don't have enough counselors for all those people with all those needs. That's why you're called to do it. You're called to share what you know. And the more you know of God, the more you have to share, right? Because that is the real answer. That is the real key to our need. So we are called to serve one another in love. So we see in John 15, Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends." And I'm probably going to hammer this nail pretty hard because it's personal to me. The need to reach out of self and serve. Okay. Now, I told you I was a shy, quiet person. But I, you know, my happy place is just spending time on my stamp collection. Okay. Or my jigsaw puzzles. Just quietly, just being alone. And yet, do you see the usefulness would be neglected if we do that, if each one of us does that? Okay. So the motivation, again, is love for others, like Jesus has loved us. And frankly, it's less emotionally draining to work on a stamp collection or a jigsaw puzzle than to meet with a person who is in great need. Do you see how stretching that is? Do you see how it's got to be motivated by love, or else you're going to give up, you're burn out? You can't do it except the Holy Spirit is in you. And I know you all have needs, okay? You all look great on the outside. But I know you have needs, or you have cares for other people that you're carrying their burdens, and you need somebody to come alongside you. So we're aware we have to do that. We're aware that we're going to be weak, but we have to depend on the Holy Spirit. And we are aware also that we have a commission to go and make disciples. I really think ministering to one another in deep levels is part of this great commission. I think it's expanded beyond just giving the gospel. Y'all see that? Because make disciples is a long-term thing. Okay? And the reason is, we're going to teach these people that we're working with to obey everything I've commanded you. Now, you might think, okay, I don't know, Caroline. I'm not really convinced yet. But I'm willing. I want that willing spirit. Help me, Lord. And I will say that some of this weakness you may feel or insecurity can be used by the Lord. Hey, don't we need to be humble when we approach others? Instead of saying, look, you guys got to really listen to me because I know it all. But I think an element of humility is so approachable and so winsome. Do y'all agree with that? I mean, I sit across from the ladies day after day, and I share with them. And a lot of them I'm very close to because I have shared my own weaknesses with them. You see? So you don't have to be a bossy person, okay, to be a spiritual mother, to be a minister to another woman. You have to just be the one who loves out of her whole heart Okay, I think we can do that because the Holy Spirit has changed our hearts, and some of us, that may be what we're here for today. So, we have a few people in the Bible who were very weak and yet went forth.
Okay.
Now, if we thought a second, you might think, who's she thinking of? Some weak people who might have need a little kick to get going. One of them, I think we could address, we could think about Peter, who, he was a hothead, we think about him like that, but he also was afraid. Wasn't he afraid to step out on, walk on the water? Well, we would be too, right? But he went out in faith. We have Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and was not frightened by anything that is frightening. We have Timothy, and a lot of the books, 1st and 2nd Timothy, we're talking about, don't be fearful. Don't be fearful, Timothy. Give him a big job, and yet he went forth because God had equipped him. And I will read to you what the equipping is in 2 Timothy, and I'm going to read chapter 1. Excuse me, 2 Timothy 1, 6-8. And this is where I get the idea that he might have been a fearful guy. It says, talks about his background. He learned the gospel from his relatives. And 6 says, for this reason, I remind you, Timothy, to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, or you could say fear, but of power and love and discipline. Power is how I'm starting. Power of the Holy Spirit at work. But I'm also going to clue you in, it's got to be based on love. The reason I am going to get together with my friend who's hurting is because I really love her. I care about her. I don't want to see her hurting. I think I can share with her a verse, or I can certainly offer to pray for her. And I know y'all are doing that in this church, because my friend Amy has said she has people who pray for her. Isn't that beautiful? And that, you can offer that, right? Doesn't mean you have to have education. And I ended up getting a degree in counseling at the seminary, but that doesn't make me a better counselor, because it's a matter of knowing the scripture and it's a matter of loving. Do you see? So y'all can pray with your friend. At least you can offer that. And we have discipline. And here again, how are we going to get the extra time to meet with other people? We're rearranging our schedule. We are giving up some things, like that stamp collection is not getting done. I have holes in my books, and I don't know, it'll probably stay like that. Because don't you think investing in the kingdom of God is going to last longer? It's going to have eternal benefits. Honestly, my mother has the most amazing stamp collection, but nobody wants to inherit it. People don't care about it. How about my stamp collection? My kids could care less. But if investing in other people, having an impact, and those women impacting other people, do you see the long-term benefits? So we've got to have the discipline to go out and do it. Now, I want to address some of the questions we might have if we are afraid still after all that. You might ask yourself, well, my idea of meeting with somebody is like with an appointment, and there's a secretary sitting out there in the office, and we have just 1 hour, and I don't really like that model. Okay, we're not talking about that. So some of us think counseling has a medical model, do you see? So just take that out of your mind. Another reason we might not want to do it is because we never know what's going to happen when we start talking to somebody and she starts telling us her deep issues. And my husband teaches preaching over there at RTS Charlotte. And those guys say to him, I would way rather be a preacher than a counselor because I cannot control what happens in the counseling office. I know what I'm going to say when I get up there to preach. Nobody interrupts me. Whereas here we are. We're flexible. We have to be ready with a word. we have to stretch ourselves and kind of step into something that we cannot control. So you might be thinking, I don't know if I want to do that, Caroline. It sounds a little bit scary. Well, I will say, if you don't know what to say in these situations, you're going to have to just know your scripture. Can't we just share a verse? And it could be, this is what I read in my devotions today. This is what I heard on the radio when somebody was reading scripture out. This is what I heard in the sermon, and it impacted me so much. I want to share that with you. Can we do that? Yeah, we don't have to be Bible scholars. I mean, John MacArthur's gone. He taught us. But we're not relying on John MacArthur, are we? No. We have the Holy Spirit is teaching us personally, and those are the things we share. Aren't you better at sharing the things that matter to you personally? Anyway? Yeah. You don't want to just like, okay, you have to hear this. This is what applies to your problem. It's, I have felt this. I have been through that. I know what it's like, and this is what helped me. You see? Very easy to think about. So I want to inspire you to do that, to know your scripture, and then let the scripture do the work. It's not up to you, girls, to convince somebody to not leave her husband, say. And now I'm talking about a serious problem. Or it's not your job to convince her to get a handle on disciplining her kids. Okay, so spirit work. You're the messenger. You're like one of those prophets. I'm going to tell truth. I'm going to share truth because I've seen it work in my life. And I want to help you because I love you. See? So, you're going to need to rely on the Lord extremely. Every time you sit down with somebody, every time you meet with somebody, you think, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. I can help point this person to the Lord. And if you don't know how to help her, you can always come back, right? And I have women come in with issues I have never dealt with before. And some of these issues that we're struggling with could be like eating disorders or physically hurting oneself. Okay, I have to do some studying. I need to learn which verses would help the most. How can I help my friend? She's offered something very personal to me. What can I say to her? You can do it because you're going to do some studying. You're taking advantage of all these resources you have. But you may say, well, I don't know if I should get involved with anybody's life because, you know, I have my own problems. I'm kind of a mess. So let's let somebody else do it. Okay. You do need to grow in character. But do you realize that being yourself is part of the equipping God has given you to help others? It's like Amy's real with us, isn't she? She says, hey, I don't have it all down. I am trying. We can be those people. I mean, it's way better than talking to the bossy lady who has it all together, right? Would you just act like me because then you'd be okay? You don't want to talk to her probably anyway. You'd rather talk to somebody who says, look, I've walked through that, or I have in the past, or I am currently struggling and this is how God is helping me now. And she's the warm person you want to be with, isn't she? She's the one you feel like opening up to because she understands. So if you do, you can think that. I take my weakness to others and help them. And part of Romans 12 says we should weep with those who weep, right? Rejoice with those who rejoice, but I can be real and I can walk alongside you in grief, say, because I'm also grieving, okay? And I can hold your hand as we go through this together. And you may say, well, now these ladies, some of them, their problems are really big problems. And I will say that Jim and I tend to be, especially Jim, he's a consultant for some of these major problems. So he gets pastors calling, what do I do about this in my church? And there are big issues, and it might not be something you've ever covered or studied, but you can find resources, you can learn from others. But do you realize that no problem is too big for God? And if we think about some of these catchphrases, like trauma, if you take that and you boil it down to what is the actual spiritual issue, you will have an answer. Because really, most of our issues are problems of not relating to God, of loving Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and spirit, or a lack of love for our brethren. The second greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. A lot of all these problems, they can be put in these categories. And if you want more information about that, you can learn about it. But it kind of takes the scare level away. Because we do know what God calls us to do, to love Him completely and submit and trust Him, and to love our neighbor more than we love ourselves. Okay, so we have those categories. We can learn how to help others based on those two categories. Well, then you might say, well, I don't know if I want to get into this, Caroline, because really, sometimes you're like losing. Sometimes you don't get anywhere. You talk to somebody, they don't hear. You don't see change, or you see long-term change happening, and it's not quick. And she might not even get better. She might not listen. She might ignore truth. Do I want to get into that? Well, think. Well, that's what we're called to do, isn't it? Jesus came and gave Himself for His people while we were still sinners. So I can work with a lady, and a lot of times I'm meeting with women a couple years. Okay, doesn't mean I'm a great counselor, right? Hey, it takes a couple years to get myself sorted out. But it's patiently walking with her while she's in struggles, up and down maybe. And we may have a good season, and then, she needs to come back. I have a lady returning now. She and I met from 2019 we stopped meeting in 2019, and now she's come back. She goes, Caroline, I need help again. Okay. Am I giving up on her? No, she doesn't have somebody to talk to, so I'm going to be there, and we'll talk. So, you have a little bit of inspiration, but now I want to give you some of the personal benefits. How are you going to benefit? By getting involved in other ladies' lives, okay? There's some good that will come out of it for you. It's one thing, you're going to grow. You are going to grow spiritually. There is no way you get involved in trying to find answers and scriptures to help somebody without yourself growing, okay? You're going to learn the Bible. You're going to get beyond John 3:16 and find many other scriptures that personally apply, that are just right, because the scripture is like a sword, right? Very particular verses, and the lady might tell you, that is just what I need, and you think, really? I didn't even plan that. But I offered the word, and you saw it work. You also learn to study. And I have a couple of ladies I meet with, and they'll say to me, they're like John MacArthur trained, and they'll say, no, what does that word mean in the Greek? I go, okay, we're going to study this together. I love those ladies because they want to really understand what the word says. They want to get in depth. They're not going to just take what I say either. They're going to say, we're going to study it and learn what it is. Plus, we're going to grow spiritually because you're depending on the Lord. How else are you going to do it? Because you're so smart? No. It's because God is at work in you. And I'll read to you John 15 just to give you that inspiration of what Jesus Himself said. In John 15, we hear Him giving His last exhortations, speaking of the Spirit coming. And I will read starting in 4, because we need this, right? He says, abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in Me. So you will have nothing to offer unless you are abiding in Christ. Do you see? The connection you have with your Lord is what you give to others. And you can't do that unless you're connected with the Lord. So there's your spiritual growth. Then he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So what we're talking about is bearing fruit. So Christians coming to church, this is an amazing church. I'm sure y'all are probably serving in nursery, you're probably serving in Sunday school, but that's bearing fruit. But now we're talking about bearing fruit by getting into deep relationships with your sisters in Christ. You are that person who is life-giving. Do you see? Not only all your skills at decorating or all your skills at helping kids. Life-giving by being a woman who is reliable, who loves, who's willing to share of her life with someone else. So Jesus says that comes from abiding in him. And if we don't abide in him, we can do nothing. So I will also remind you that when you start helping women with severe problems or even just walking alongside somebody who's hurting, you are going to grow in your prayer life. How can you not? Especially you say, I will pray for you. You will keep that promise. And you will say, even if you think, I don't know what else to tell her, but I will pray for her, you are going to do it. And do you think that's enriching your spiritual life? Yes. Naomi has told me, people prayed for her. I know some of you have been praying for this event. Some of you have been praying for your pastor regularly and the leaders, okay? Your spiritual life is thriving when you pray for one another because you're talking to God about your needs and the needs of others. We are to carry one another's burden. Besides, here's another benefit to walking alongside. You're going to grow in your own character. How can you not? Again, if you're going to minister to somebody else of how to be a good wife, do you think you better be that good wife at home? You think? Otherwise, you're a hypocrite. So you hear yourself saying, look, hon, you need to be patient with your husband. I heard you talk to him, and I got a little bothered by the tone that you use. And then you hear yourself saying this, saying that, and you realize, I also need to be aware of my tone. I also need to be aware. I want to be that wife that I'm exhibiting to this girl. I need to show her what it means to be patient with my husband. Okay, so we're going to avoid hypocrisy by practicing what we preach. And in 1 Timothy, Paul says, I urge you to imitate me. Hebrews 6:12, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So there's a scriptural reason to call others to imitate us. And that list that's happening in Titus is contains specific things we have to do that should be imitated by those that we're speaking to. And it's a really good reminder to us. And I will say that in my life, I've benefited so much by hearing myself tell another woman what the scripture says, how to have faith, how to trust God, how to submit to him. It helps me, doesn't it? Because I've got to learn it for myself. And here it says we're supposed to be reverent in our behavior. We can't be malicious gossips or enslaved to much wine or anything else like that. And we are to teach what is good. So that's the characteristics we're supposed to have. And we want to let women see that in us. And we're not going to be perfect, but can we be honest? Yes, we can be real. And say, look, I know what you're talking about. Scrolling, isn't that like the death of us? Scrolling can be, I don't know, is it? Okay, because I talk to gals who was like, okay, I spent hours on my phone, and I had nothing productive at the end of it. And I could tell her, yeah, I know. I do too sometimes. I'm working on it. Here is what I'm doing to get myself out of that habit. here is how the Lord's helping me. Let me share that with you. You see, it's not complicated. It's saying, I can understand how you're feeling. I understand the drive you have mindless entertainment. But this is what God is teaching me. And let's be accountable to one another. Sometimes we do that. Would you pray for me? Yes, and I'll pray for you. And I will ask you about it next time we get together. How are you doing? And when I have a girl who's not doing well in seminary because she's spending hours on her phone instead of turning in her papers, okay, she needs somebody to hold her accountable in a loving way. Not because not because you're trying to please me. It's because what does God want you to do? How does He want you to have this self-discipline? So I just picked scrolling as a typical problem I see. We can understand it, but I don't want her to imitate me in that. I want her, both of us, to look to Christ and learn how to conquer that, what I call the sin of self-indulgence. Truly. Okay. So, we are going to think also, if I learn how to help others, I am also learning more about Scripture, and I'm starting to see the Bible differently. I'm starting to see how effective it is, how impactful it is. Because when I read it, I think, oh, my friend, she could use that passage. I want to share it with her. You'll also find out your marriage looks really good. And Jim and I have this common reaction. When we get together with people who have horrible marriage problems, we look at each other and go, oh, honey, I appreciate you so much. I see that you are the opposite of this guy that my friend is living with. I'm just so thankful for how sensitive and kind. And yeah, so your marriage is going to look good. So, as we think about, here are a few suggestions. I want us to remember that theology is important. Oh, wait a minute, it's Saturday morning, you're talking about theology? Okay, all I mean is, remember who God is. Remember, theology, study of God. So your view of God is going to help you when you start bearing one another's burdens. Because it's not up to you to save anybody, right? Or anybody struggling in spiritual warfare. You are helping. You are not the Savior. You see, salvation comes from God alone. So my theology is, God is in charge of this. I'm just going to be the willing vessel. I'm just going to be the helper. Use my hands, Lord. Use my heart to help somebody. And you might also need theology when you realize, okay, what happens if nothing changes? Well, that's also God's prerogative. That's God's job. Nobody's going to change because of your amazing words, or because you picked the right scripture, or because you said the appropriate thing in just the right way. No, it's God working. You're just there being willing. Okay, so you can all do that. And you will not be afraid to fail. You will not be afraid if she doesn't ever hear you or listen to you again. It's because these people belong to the Lord, and they are not your projects. You get it? Ladies, we're not looking at one another as a project. Well, she better really listen to that, because you know what? She's got a lot of problems. Okay. We're going to give that to the Lord. And we're going to say, okay, Lord, you know her heart. You know what she needs. And she might not need me, right? There may be somebody else who can connect better. But I'm not afraid to offer myself as a help to her. That will help you to avoid burnout, to not grow weary in doing good, because you're working for God's sake. But it's also going to avoid helping you become a busybody or bossy person, because it's not you. Do you see it? You're the instrument. Paul Tripp wrote his book, Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands. You're just the instrument. You're just being used, and it's not because you're amazing. And you can't parade 10 ladies in front of you and say, look, all these people were transformed because of my counseling. You can't do that. that would not be right, because it's God who's doing it. And, hey, some of them might have just gone off and not listened to you anyway, so. Right. So you also remember, some advice to you is find someone, if you get into a heavy problem, find somebody who has experience or has written a book. Jim has got lots of books on different topics. Go find one of those. There are plenty of articles that you can read, other little books, big books to help you. And I will say, a final suggestion is let's be flexible. Let's be flexible. Do women come to us on our own time schedule or on their time schedules? Yeah, sometimes you get a call late, or sometimes it's Saturday and you've got plans, and there's a real need. You might, depending on the situation, and I'd be glad to sit down and talk to you about particulars, you might need to say, look, can we talk after I've given dinner to my family? I'll give you an hour after that. So we're not always at the beck and call of the person who's calling, but we're setting up something. We're willing to talk. So flexibility along with wisdom, because you also have other priorities. So we think about, what is our goal? What is the point of this first talk? My job is to point others to Christ, remembering I am not the Savior. I will not be able to do the work of the Holy Spirit, but I want to be that loving member of Grace Bible Church, or loving member of my family, who's willing to not only enjoy an event like this with lots of good conversation, but to go deep. I want to really know how you are. And there are those friends, right? They say, how are you? But then they go, how are you, really? And then you know she's opening up to hear your real needs. And if you feel safe with her, you know she loves you, you know she's not a gossip, she's not going to spread everything, that will grow you into what is meant to be in our body of Christ. Members of one another, working with each other, coming alongside and pointing each other to the Lord. So I want to wind down with this verse, which is the most beautiful verse, I think. And I'm looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm going to give you some prep, because you think about Paul writing to the people in Thessalonica. Paul is a single guy, right? But he was in a body, and he had seen many groups, church groups, together. And I think that's where his illustration comes from. And listen to how personal and touching we read in these words in 1 Thessalonians 2, and starting in verse 7. And think about it for you, ladies. We proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Paul's a single guy, but he's watching nursing mothers tenderly caring for their own children. Verse 8. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. Isn't that beautiful? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this reminder of what we are meant to be to one another. And I thank you for this opportunity to think about it for a while this morning. And I ask that you would give us that tender heart for our sisters in Christ, the heart that was willing to be flexible, reach out, to walk alongside, even if it causes hurt and pain sometimes, to bear somebody's pain with them. But give us that Spirit of Christ, which will motivate us. And we ask for a big measure of the Holy Spirit to enact changes in the lives of those of us who are listening today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.